The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 28th of May, 2026, and you're on the clock with Aaron Running Late Green. Let me tell you why I'm running late this morning, because the math is not mathing. That's why, because the math is not mathing. Every day, I schedule out my day. And due to my economic status and social class combined, I don't live the life where I could just expand my time at will. See, some of us can afford to expand our time at will. I don't have that type of math powers yet. But I plot out my morning drive, and I know that it should only take me 15 to 20 minutes to get from Johnson Road to the Guardian. And every morning, I'm faced on the road with people who trying to outmath my math. Like, they mad that I'm mathing. They say, Miss, who tell you to calculate how much time it could take you to get to work? I am here with a new math. Add 20 minutes to your drive for no reason other than I'm on my phone. And I want to be a safe driver when I'm on my phone. Dear young people, that math ain't mathing. When somebody tells you that they're driving slowly, they're obstructing traffic because they want to be safe while they're on their cell phone, throw the whole math equation away. None of it is making sense. If you want to be safe while you're driving, the first part of the equation is to put your cell phone in your bag. Divide that by paying attention, not just to the road in front of you, but the road all around you. Then multiply that with a dash of empathy and spatial awareness so that you could decide at the end of this question whether you're going to be the person that causes accidents or you're going to be the person that prevents accidents. See, y'all ain't hit that high-level calculus yet. I get it. Wait till y'all go into the math exam, and it have two correct answers, and you have to determine which correct answer is supposed to be applied for the situation. See, that's the type of math that you have to be mapping on the road. It's almost as if somebody convinced you that the only skill you need to acquire to drive a car is the ability to stick your bank card in the ATM machine. That math is not mathing either. Driving a motor vehicle, which in many legal circumstances is considered a dangerous weapon, driving a motor vehicle requires a number of skills. Some of them are soft skills and some of them are hard skills. Like, do you know how to mash the brakes? Do you know when to begin mashing the brakes? Do you know what type of action on the road around you should trigger your foot to mashing status? My foot stay in mashing mode. You might as well meld my foot to the brake, the way my math be mathing. Anyway, there's some other mathing going on in the country as well. It is budget communication time. Tomorrow, we're going to spend the show walking through parts of the budget that have been shared with us already, and we are going to be checking the math. See, the government promised us a surplus at the end of the year. This was after the last budget communication. During that communication, many economists told us that there are many ways to get a surplus. And we said, that's fine. I understand that math. There are many ways to get a surplus. I had that experience in school. I was a top math student, but I used to get in trouble because I didn't solve the math problems the way that the teacher expected us or taught us to solve the math problems. And eventually, I think it was my father, but eventually somebody said, if you get in the right answer but you get in the wrong mark, then show the work. So when it comes to this year's budget communication, the truth is, you could tell us anything. There are many ways to get to a right answer. But the most important thing is, can you show us the work? How did you get to the right answer? See, the students are elevating the class. We're telling you, the teacher, you're doing a good job, and we're prepared for more. Let's elevate the class. Show us your work. Tomorrow we can be walking through the budget. I don't think I have time for any more mathing, although y'all have some really interesting math problems in the paper today. But I have teachers in the room with me, so we can make a broad shift, still in the realm of math and science and skill sets and education. We're talking to teachers and staff from the great Uriah McPhee. Producer, I don't know if you still have that song by G Money called Barracuda, because we got the Barracudas in the house today. Good morning, ladies. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, your principal, Shavanya Ferguson, has sent you to me today because I beg her. I say, listen, since you have us on this Uriah McPhee track, you told us about the career fair, the science fair, and the STEM Com. We want to know the results of the STEM fair. And here's why. Because I think I know the history of Uriah McPhee. It is one of the first, what I like to call the tech schools. The people say the schools with no windows. Right? So when I saw the clip with the young man, you get his name, Mr. Avery Davis, presenting his project on solar panels, I say, yeah, man, this is it. Uriah McPhee understands it. They are entrenching, like they dipping the children in the principles to drive their school. I love it. So this morning, Ms. Ferguson has sent me more than just the science and STEM centers of the school. I think we've got physical education in the building, and we've got literacy in the building, along with science and math. So today, Uriah McPhee is here to tell us that in education, the math is mathing, right? And they are composing the correct formulas, and they're producing champions. They're producing gems. They're producing bright, critical thinking minds. Good morning, ladies. How y'all doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good. Please introduce yourself as you start talking. Let's start with STEM and science. Good morning, and tell us eventually about the STEM winners for the STEM competition.
Good morning. My name is Shafelle Knowles, and I am the science coordinator for Uriah McPhee Primary School, and we had a very exciting year this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was off the chain. Science, STEM means STEM, education. STEM education is an approach to learning that focuses on the main subjects. This is where we get this STEM.
Mm-hmm.
Science, S stands for science, T for technology, E for engineering, and M for mathematics. So instead of teaching these subjects separately, STEM education often combines them through hands-on projects. And so Uriah capitalizes on that concept of hands-on projects using these areas of learning And usually every year we have a science exhibition that would feature science, technology, engineering, and math. And we would focus on the curriculum of the Ministry of Education for the grade levels. For the several years in our school, we have been studying this idea of conservation. Our students are well-rounded students. They know about conserving the coral reef. They know about conserving the wetlands. They know about conserving the wildlife. And this year, we had talked about conserving energy. Mm-hmm. Our theme for our science exhibition was small machines, big systems.
Absolutely.
And so I was so excited about this theme this year. So as the children was learning this idea of conservation and how to save things in our environment that we can use for later use, the children were put to do various projects. Each grade level had a project to display in our science exhibition. The preschool had STEM coloring. Grade 1 built levers and pulleys. Grade 2 actually constructed cruise ships.
Okay, hold on. So you're telling me that in grade 1, the students created a system of lever and pulleys, so when Mummy, who is sitting right next to the remote, call them from the bedroom to come bring her the remote, they could just hit the button and the lever and the pulley pick up the remote and put it right in Mummy's hand?
This is the type of mind that we're trying to mold.
Awesome.
Early.
Awesome.
Believe it or not, we try to instill in our children early that they can be innovators of great things, of inventions. Mm-hmm. We always tell them you're going to be the best at what you're going to be when you grow up. We always tell them stuff like you're going to find that one day you're going to be the doctor. Whatever they put their hands to do, you would find that around this table. We have that same mindset. The PE teacher pushes them to be the best what they can be in PE. The reading experts, the reading coordinator, she pushes them to be the best in the literacy areas and, of course, the math the same. Mm-hmm. I would always tell them these things. You're going to go to space one day. I would tell my golfers, even if they play golf, I would say, okay, your first $1 million is mine.
Yes. So they know they got to make
an adult now. Yes, she's an adult now in university in the States. And she has that in the back of her head that I'm going to be the greatest. And I am going to make my mom and my country proud. So we instill this mindset in them early. Mm-hmm. And yes, they actually put their hands to these projects, and the parents get involved. The community gets involved.
I was going to say, after watching the Guardian coverage of the event, right? The first thing I thought was STEM as a space to explore career and your future life, right? STEM as an incentive for learning. How combining the science and the math and even the literacy for projects, right, will inspire kids to focus more on the subjects. STEM to encourage parental involvement, right, and family and community engagement, the types of projects that people are working on. It helps them to understand, like, in the real world, you'll be working in a sector, and you'll have many resources to turn to. There'll be people in your industry community that will step in, right? It was fascinating to see the school exploring the full potential of STEM, not just as a tool to drive better exam results.
Oh, that's correct. Because even our fifth grade students, they sit down and they help Mommy and Daddy assist them with making solar-powered buildings. Yes, and so they understand what's going on in their environment. They sit down and they build drones. This year, grade 6 build drones. And so during our science and career fair, we had the drone experts come into the school.
But listen, Uriah McPhee now needs to find a small little agriculture grant, right? So y'all could use your drones as a community project to identify fruit trees in the community that people are unaware of for community and school community joint partnership to raise funds.
Wow. Yes. This is the kind of mind that we're grooming.
And with the community leadership, the next thing I saw that was so impressive in the coverage was that Uriah McPhee became the beacon that drew all the community leaders in to support the project, right? So you got the now Attorney General who showed up, and you have the now MP for Freetown, Lincoln Deal, who showed up. Now, Mr. Deal, I can tell you the job start on day one. You work in the engineering field, right? These little children need every piece of cardboard and tube you could get because they're going to build a wind tunnel for homes in their community that may not be able to afford AC so that they could capture the natural wind flow in their community and increase the amount of breeze moving through the house to cool it down. You're on the job, Mr. Deal. What a deal you struck. I love it.
Okay, and so actually, we would like to see, yes, more people in the community coming forward and adopting our school and our children to work in these fields as early as they can. You know, a lot of them are home in the summer just running around the yard and stuff all day. Mm-hmm. How about someone or a company just bringing them in to their institution and showing the little boys how these things work? Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I'm thinking about AG Electric, who's right in your community, and they are great community partners. They are wonderful Junkanoo members, right? Like, if they could get some of their Junkanoo people to teach the young people in the school, in the community, like maybe how to build small trolleys from heavy-duty cardboard to start off so that they could tote maybe your school bag, maybe from school on your way home, and put in your little trolley and tote her home. All kind of thing, man. It is exciting. Grab the mic here. Yeah.
I do want to interject that AG Electric is one of our sponsors for Junior Junkanoo. So they were there. They are one of our community partners. They were there. They helped us. They were instrumental in our banner and helping the children to learn how to paste and learn how to cut out their costumes. So when you mention them, I want to give them a little shout.
They're already on board.
They are on the ground. They're there with us.
Yeah, they were supposed to sponsor the Spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world. But they told us they was busy. I see what they was busy doing. This is awesome. This is awesome. Okay, now, if we do you have the names of the STEM winners? Because I need to see if I could hire a couple of them to work in my Chichani factory. But let's move on to physical education.
Well, Uriah McPhee prides itself with outstanding students, giving them opportunities inside and outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. Uriah McPhee has a plethora of sports under our belts. We have a very good excellent basketball and track and field program.
Okay.
As well as sailing. We are definitely one of the front runners in the national sport with the Barracuda.
Yes.
Our kids did so well. We have a couple championships under our belts with the KPMG Regatta.
Okay.
We also went to the Nationals at Edward Knowles, where they placed 11th out of the 34 or 36 boats.
What?
10 and 11-year-olds against adults. So I think we are
on
the map for that avenue.
Listen, let me just say for a moment, right, because I frequent Montague Ramp. And Montague Ramp, right, a lot of the people who work there are from the Camp Road community. You can't beat the water bad like they could beat the water bad. Right? Like I talking about by them, they going in there and they picking up 3 and 5 bundle of conch one time and lifting it up out of the ocean. Right? They, when your boat go down or it drift off, they swimming out and pulling the boat back in. Good morning to the Montague Ramp crew and the Camp Road, by them. You know, on Sunday you say sir and ma'am, but midday they are the Montague Ramp by them, and they're doing a wonderful job. What I like about that space as well is in the summer breaks, those guys bring their children to work with them. You know, it is community minded. The atmosphere shifts in the summer and during school breaks, and a lot of young people are able to make money and begin learning about economic agency in that space. And so I say to the government, always keep Montague Ramp open. It has a place in the Camp Road community, you know, and is very important. Now, back to physical education. Do you train your students how to use a bouncing castle properly in physical education?
Well, we have so much other things under our belts that we kind of put that on the wayside.
Oh, okay.
Speaking with that, the sailing, Mr. Pateman, our sponsor, we have so many people assisting us inside and outside. We cannot wait for the pool to finally or officially be open.
Okay.
Thank you to Attorney General, Mr. Marine Monroe. We cannot wait, and hopefully Mr. Deal will continue to
support
that program. Yeah. The school is up and ready. We are also excited for our boxing program to return back this year now that they have
Yes.
again. And rugby is on our way to Uriah.
What?
So we're waiting. We're ready.
Listen, this is good. Okay, so first thing we'd like to say is, oh, these Kemp Road Boy Dam, oh, they're a little aggressive. They're a little outrageous. So first of all, it's hot in Kemp Road. It's hot. I mean, you build all them buildings on the hill and the breeze don't flow the same way it used to flow down into Kemp Road no more. Plus, y'all is drive through Kemp Road like y'all forget people is lived there.
Not through there, man. Our parents are there. Our guards are there.
Yeah.
Our securities are there. We have people watching us when we're out on the grounds for PE. The neighbors are always there.
Yeah.
They come and find out if they're turning off water.
Yeah.
Do we need to use the cord for electricity if we're putting something out? We have support.
Yeah, absolutely. When you see those faces are letting you know this community is protected. Right? Not just from violence, but the people in this community are safe and they know they could reach out to the community.
And our officers are always there. One phone call away and they're there before we blink.
This is awesome.
We are definitely protected.
This is awesome. You always play parking at your school?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Sometimes. We try to limit
those types of contact sports.
Yeah, but the sport, yeah, because you know we got a strict curriculum that we're running through because we have things to do and we want to keep on accomplishing the things that we're accomplishing now.
And I like the idea of giving students the opportunity to touch as many sporting disciplines as possible. When I saw that there was breakdancing in the 2024 Olympics and we didn't send a team, we fifth string team, that's Perry Christie, Greg Davis, and we could have sent them.
And we'd have come up victorious.
You know what I'm saying? And so there is potential, even though we have not established a discipline locally, right, that the kids can develop the soft and hard skills necessary to engage any sports discipline. Right.
Most definitely. I think our biggest issue with the public primary school is facilities. The high schools have their gymnasiums. The primary schools need it as well.
Yeah.
The outdoor courts is okay, but there's nothing like having a safe space to improve or to develop. So, I mean, I can't wait till the pools with the five or six that are almost completed now. Mm-hmm. I think that swimming program alone will benefit with the discipline and the upcoming.
Oh yeah,
thank you.
Sense of self,
independence,
sense of belonging, right? Sense of economic capacity. Imagine you in an archipelago surrounded by water. You come from boat people, but you don't know how to swim, or you are scared about handling a boat. To be able as a young person to step into that part of your national identity. And that's why I'm saying those guys who work at Montague Ramp, you may feel like there's always a sort of a class perspective. That ain't no real job. Let me tell you, the ability to navigate the waters, the ability to catch food, the ability to clean and prepare properly and safely food, for young men in particular, the knowledge that every day I could wake up and feed my family is so important.
Yes, it promotes confidence. It promotes real life responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It creates leaders.
And that's why you see some young men, like, you don't understand why that little boy have a man spirit on his chest. It's because from primary school, he's been helping to feed his family. And sometimes the society that doesn't understand the identity that he's been forced to take on. But I'm so glad. Physical education, I love it. Even though y'all seem like y'all are very strong competitors versus the QC Primary Comets. There's always going to be some challenge
when
there.
When the Barracudas show up, we show face. Okay, we are not there just for the competition. We are there for the experience.
Comets, be careful, because when we hit the water, sometimes we cool down. Okay? Be careful with these Barracudas. I got a caller on the line. I hope they're still there. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, boy, you know, Miss Green, one time, good morning, everybody. You know, one time they used to say, can anything good come out of Kemp Road?
I mean, why would they say that? And A.D. Hannah, The winningest MP in the history of the Bahamas?
No, no, except then you got Uriah Malfika.
That's what I'm saying.
He's right to that little corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got one of the best talk shows, one of the second smartest talk show on personality. That's Uriah Malfika, Pumpkin Eater.
Oh, there you go.
Uriah Malfika's son.
Listen,
and then on the corner of Trump Road and Shirley Street, my ma, that's where they come from. So, you know, Camp Road in my blood.
Yeah, yeah. Camp Road has a vibrant history that has fed the development of this country. And sometimes, right, like we take too long to write the history down, and we forget it. And thank you very much, Sparky, for adding that element. I did a little research on Mr. Uriah McPhee, who was born in Exuma in 1926. He passed away sort of relatively quickly for a young man. He served in Parliament for only a year. He passed away at 42 years old in Boston, but his legacy, right? Like, sometimes you could never imagine what your legacy would be, but his death triggered an election that changed the face of the country, right? Changed the course of the country. And so we say to Uriah McPhee's family members, thank you for lending him to us, you know. Thank you for understanding that sometimes men and women also are also a part of a broader family. And so we say thank you to our ICONS family members for understanding that and letting us live their legacy with them, right? Now, Uriah McPhee, literacy. I'm all about functional literacy and ensuring that people are sufficiently literate to understand the space that they are attempting to navigate. I've been watching a lot of, not TV, but content. Sort of police content. And the thing that's most prominent is, that comes up for me is when Angela Davis talks about the preschool to prison pipeline, right? And how some schools appear to be used for a particular path. But I realize what it is that some school systems do not prioritize literacy and ensuring not just that a student could pass an exam, but that a student understands what it is they're talking about, right? And so we sort of give up on, start focusing on literacy once we get out of primary school. But let's talk literacy, because these young people have sense. And I watch them navigating these spaces all the time. It may be that we don't understand the sense that they have.
Well, I'm so glad you started off today's show. You started talking about, you know, the math isn't math. When you're on the road, there are so many factors that you have to pay attention to. And just like the physical factors of mashing down that gas, like you say, you have signs. You have signs all around you that have to be followed, the rules of the law and the things that are on the road. Those things have to be followed. And that's where literacy comes into play. And just for those listeners who might be listening, literacy includes reading, writing, listening, and speaking. All of that is included in the definition for literacy. So to be a literate person, you must be able to do all four of those things. This year, earlier on in September, UNESCO, which is a branch of the United Nations, they brought out a theme that we are supposed to be promoting literacy in the digital era this year. Mm-hmm. Because we know we're moving into that where digital and all of those things would come along with STEM, solar, and all of those new innovations. These things have to be put into our literacy program as well. So what we have started under the leadership of our principal, she has brought to us an online program, Harcourt. It's a Harcourt HMH program. It's an online digital platform. And it has a target audience of primary school audience, and we piloted it this year. Now, there are some kinks we're still working on, but we saw the value of the program in that we're moving not totally away from the traditional text, but we're moving into an online text.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, it has the reader, it has all of the work pages, it has the teacher's information. So, you know, children, and if you work around children, you know they like tablets, they love computers. So they're excited to turn on their tablets, excited to bring their laptops to school when we tell them to bring them, and to tune into our developing literacy program at our school. So that is one of the ways that we have been trying to follow the mandate of UNESCO to promote literacy in our digital era. Mm-hmm. Also, this year, we want to give some shout-outs to some of our children that have done extremely well this year. We had some competitions that our children were able to place in, the Red Cross essay competition. We got second and third place, and shout out to their sixth grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the most entries. We had 23 entries,
mm-hmm.
and that was the most out of any school in that competition. So we got second and third, and we were extremely proud of them.
Now listen, Uriah McPhee students, here's your winning entry for next year's Red Cross competition. The value of establishing a national day for bouncing castles. Because the Red Cross is all about bouncing castles.
We also had a Larry Ferguson, another sixth grade student. He won second place in an Inland Revenue essay competition. So here we are. We're doing big things.
Larry, listen. You have the last name Ferguson. Larry, you will be a tax collector. Start in your house, okay? Let your mommy know you collecting snack tax. Right? And if they put pressure on you, tell them it's a sin tax. Every time you cuss, you got to put money in the snack box. Well done, Mr. Ferguson.
Okay, and I called his name, so I'm searching. I'm searching, looking for the two second and third place winners of the other essay competition. I'll find it for you before
all right.
But also there, we had Literacy Week in February.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are Bahamians, and you also mentioned the cultural aspect of just being able to swim and the value of being able to hop in a boat and feel confident. And so this year, our theme was Proud to be Bahamian, Proud to Read.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to incorporate a lot of the Bahamian culture into our reading program.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, Mrs. Knowles assisted me this year with this. We at break times, we went on the mic and we told Bahamian stories. She told a Babakin Barabi story. I told the story of how the Archipelago of Islands got formed. So we really tried to infuse...
Well,
these are Bahamian authors.
Okay, so stick a pin. Let's go to the phone line.
Okay.
And you're going to tell us a little bit about how the archipelago of the Bahamas was formed.
Yes.
And then I can tell you, I ain't going to tell you the story, but I can tell you about the story of the Chichani origins.
Oh,
let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry I miss you. Let's go to the next. Good morning. I hear you.
Yeah,
Hi.
Can I speak to Richard Blitt?
Would you like to speak to Richard the Third? Oh, the producer took the line. Sorry, I was going to play with the caller a little bit, but he also seemed very serious, like he needed to speak to Richard. Sometimes the stories write themselves right in front of you, young people, right? Like, you would be surprised, Chirin, how engaging the stories you tell about your life are. Like, there's just one little clip with this little boy. He is, it's like he might as well be in the House of Parliament, right? And his friend buy a snack, like a chicken snack or something. And he's saying, he's arguing his point, that anytime I get food, I share it with you. You get one little piece of change, and you can share your food with your brother. I want to hear the stories this little boy is telling. I need him to be confident enough to write them down.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go.
Okay, before I move, the names of the winners, I just want to promote them. For Sean Sturp with second place and Empress Johnson with third place for the Red Cross competition. So I just wanted to promote their names. So I'll not just say we won them, but those places have faces.
Congratulations, you all young people. And I did beg for you all to get the day off of school today to come to the station. However, common sense prevailed. And as the school year is closing out, it's important that you get every class in that you can get. I'm a big promoter of school attendance, a big promoter of promoting a culture of appreciation for education. And I think it's important for us to do whatever it takes. Parents, this is the point when you lie to your children. Right? You tell them the truth and you lie to them. It doesn't, you got to do whatever it takes to entrench in them a culture of appreciation for education. And what that means is you show them that this education could take you anywhere. It may take you to an academic space. It may take you to an academic space for 1 year, 2 years, until you get the certifications to springboard into the vocational and technical or engineering space that you want to be in. Then we got Dr. Thane Campbell, who's working with Deep Science Ventures, right? And so they provide a PhD program for people who have an innovative global solution to a detrimental local problem, right? But you don't require a bachelor's or a master's to get in. You just require critical thinking, right? A very broad literacy set. So you're sort of legally literate. You've got numeracy. You have great literacy with numbers. You have great spatial awareness and sort of soft skills. And so it's important to show these kids that, listen, whether you go into an academic space, a suit and tie space, this foundational learning experience is the most important thing you ever going to do. You know, and then just lie, we lie to them about everything. You eat the last piece of pizza that was theirs, you lie to them. Let's lie for the good stuff, too. All right, so literacy.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, so that was our theme. We wanted to focus on bringing in Bohemian culture with it. So we did have, as I said, some Bohemian stories. We had a Bohemian author Keva Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
She came in, and she just was telling the story of how she became a author, the challenges that she had to overcome to finally get her books published. So they mm-hmm. came in an assembly, and we enjoyed having her there. There was also a donation by the Kiwanis Club of the Rising Sun. We want to thank their president, Ms. Nisette Sawyer, for the work that she did. They brought books with them, and here's a shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
At any time, we invite members of the public, the community. We have a library that is in dire need of reading materials, I would say ages 4 to 12, anything in that range, we would appreciate the donations. Our book drive is continuous and ongoing,
mm-hmm.
so we would appreciate that as well.
I tell them, listen, hit the philanthropist double whammy. Go to a charitable event, buy all the books at the bookstall, and then go to a community library that needs books and pass them out. Let's get them out there. They call that the philanthropist double whammy. You got a good shot of getting into heaven if you do that. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, math. When the math is math, then everybody is happy because life is about balance. Numbers make up the whole planet, the whole human experience. You're on the clock with Aaron. The math is now math in green. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, Junior just show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We are in studio, and forgive me for not sort of announcing it more regularly during the conversation. We are in studio with teachers and staff from Uriah McPhee, the home of the Barracudas and one of the leading junior sailing programs in the country. Let's start with the text. I was so excited to see that Ministry of Education has a summer reading list for all grade levels. It is on their Facebook page. There are some Bahamian books on the list, too. And let me just say to listeners and the general public, did you know that you could start your own Bahamian reading list as well on your Facebook page? And you would be surprised how many people would see that as a valuable resource. And don't think, well, that's just a regular who wants to know what I'm reading. Well, they're going to juxtapose your selections with other people's selections. Put it out there. We're using this phone and this and Putin's internet to do all kind of foolishness. We could be building the resources we want for ourselves and our children and not waiting on other people to build it for us. In fact, I would just start, like, we have so many avid book readers in this country. People who, you, when you see them, you, there's always a book in their hand or peeking out their purse or even their backpack, right? Like, reach out to book publishers and say, hey, have you ever thought about sponsoring the Bahamas? You know, have you ever thought about a formal arrangement with the government of the Bahamas to make us your home of reading? Ministry of Tourism, you ever thought of inviting tourists to come to the Bahamas to read on the beach as a collective? Like, make it a global or a regional phenomenon? We could, and I could, we read anywhere. We read anywhere would be the theme of it, right? On the beach, eating a peach, anywhere. Okay, so let's get to the math. I love math. I'm a math student. But I love math because the world is built on mathematical equations, right? Like, the whole world, the words that we speak, the tones that we use, the way that we move our bodies, they're all mathematically driven. Good morning, ma'am, and please tell us your name.
Good morning. I am Ms. Chanel Kemp. I am the mathematics coordinator at the Great Uriah Maxwey Primary School. A lot of persons shy away from math. Mm-hmm. I love that you love math.
I don't know why they shy away from math, because Bahamians are the best maths in the mathing world. The way they play dominoes, and the way they play backgammon, and the way they play checkers and chess. These people, you go to Montague Ramp. In fact, I need you all to go to Montague Ramp to look for your math tutors, especially for some of them young boys who be like, man, miss, I too rough to be focusing on school, man. I can't let these people see me studying and trying. Go to Montague Ramp and get some of them big man them out there to show these hard little boy them how to math.
That is correct. We want our students at Uriah Maxwey and throughout our Bahama land to understand that math is important. So in mathematics, we have a little jingle, a little song at Uriah Maxwey. And it's very simple, so our listeners can even join in once they get it. And the words are, math is important. Yes, it is. And we say that twice. And then, if you want to succeed, then math is what you need. Math is important. Yes, it is. And it's sung to the tune of, if you're happy and you know it. Math is important. Yes, it is. Math is important. Yes, it is. If you want to succeed, then math is what you need. Math is important. Yes, it is. And
if you want to pass, you got to know how long to mash the gas. Math is important. Yes, it is. Because when you're entering a roadway, you need to be able to determine the rate of speed that the cars already on the road are moving at, and what is the rate of speed that you need to enter the roadway with to enter it safely without obstructing any other vehicles. That's the math. And I want you all young boy them in particular, and the young girls them in particular, to know, when you're looking at that boy in that car and you say, oh, that car could go fast, right? All of those guys who drive those cars well, they have to have math skills. They have to have math skills. Don't let them fool you talking about, miss, I don't study no school, I's a prancer. The young man to understand the speed he has to move at and the force he needs to pull the front wheel up safely, the angle that he needs to maintain with the top wheel that is off the ground to maintain the direction of the wheel that is on the ground. That's math. All the bad man thing you all think is bad man thing is math. Yes, ma'am, let's get back to math.
Yes, yes, yes. And this is what we want our students to understand. We want them to see that math is everywhere, that they need math in everything.
Mm-hmm.
This year, our theme for mathematics was mathematics and hope. Count on math. It all adds up.
Yes.
All the time, whatever you're going through, know that math has an answer. So we want to develop critical thinkers. We want our children to not just think of math and see, oh my goodness, numbers, and then you'll throw letters in it, and how am I going to figure this out? We want to make math fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are doing at Uriah Math.
And let me tell you something, you're at home doing calculus and algebra all the time. See that unknown X? That unknown X. That's, I don't know if Johnny will split his pants because he likes to play sports but don't like to take his pee shorts to school with him. You know what I'm saying? That X is, boy, it's fruit season and I was supposed to prune these trees back. If one of these limbs hit the house, that's $200. I may have to take out the budget. Your mommy been algebraing and calculusing without a degree for years trying to make it work. And here's the thing. Like Ms. Kemp said, if you create the budget and you do the math properly and you stick to that budget, you're going to get the right answer every time. I love it. I love it. Keep going. Keep going.
Yes. Yes. So, like I said, we want to make math fun. We want to show our students that math is everywhere, and once you make it fun, they will always remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have incorporated some initiatives during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
One of our initiatives in November, we did the pumpkin patch math. So each grade level, we had a board, and each grade level had their own columns. We had problem of the week every week. As they got it right, they got a pumpkin added to their patch.
Okay.
Of the month.
Somebody made them a pot of pumpkin soup?
they got prizes.
Okay.
They got prizes.
Oh, that's good too.
That's, yeah. And within this, we also made it real. We brought in real pumpkins. The students were able to measure the pumpkins. They were able to estimate how much they think this
pumpkin.
How many? The weight. How many seeds are inside the pumpkin?
Oh wow!
We got to cut open the pumpkin, count the seeds, make a guess, and then test it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of those students, it was the first time that they actually saw a real pumpkin. It was the first time that they were able to see inside
a real
pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yes. So they enjoyed that. Of course, they were able to take some of the seeds home. So hopefully we have some pumpkin patch in the back of some homes in Camp Road.
Now remember, pumpkins are shy. They're young people. Pumpkins are shy. They don't like you looking at them all the time. So what you have to do is you have to spy at them like you spy at your neighbor mango. Look, look, but don't look. Yeah, with the half side of your eye. Like how you see the lunch lady setting up in the cafe or wherever the lunch lady is set up, and you could see her as class coming to an end.
Yes, so April was our math month. So during this time, we incorporated other activities. Children love to color, even though they sometimes pretend they don't like the color.
Oh, yeah.
So what we did a school-wide coloring competition.
Okay.
And each grade level had a different initiative. So preschool did a color by shapes. So they had to connect the color to the shape to make sure the picture came out right.
Mm-hmm.
And as you went up, you had color by number, color by addition, color by subtraction, color by multiplication. And our students so enjoyed this initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I had my desk full of papers. And, of course, we had to give them a little incentive. So we had some awesome prizes at the end of the month for the winners of those competitions.
Nice.
And their work was proudly displayed, and it still is being proudly displayed in our auditorium.
Okay, awesome.
For those persons that want to come over and take a look.
All right.
We also want to move forward connecting math to AI and technology. When we talk about STEM, the M in STEM is mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make math accessible and fun. We want to gamify it. Those persons who love their gaming, you need math.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't want nobody to tell you this costs $10 and you give them $20 and they tell you dollars your change,
oh, yeah.
You need math.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what we want.
Are we talking about Jim and me? We talking about your mummy. It is not against the law for your mummy to math cook you. You may be good on your math. Right? When you say bring back the change, you got to be good on that math. But they're young people. Sometimes older people make you feel like, you know, their life was so hard and you don't have any hardships. But some of the older people who are now ruling over you, yeah, when they were 12, they did the grocery shopping. They had to have the math. They had to come back with the right amount of money. They had to make sure that they didn't overspend on any product because they had to come back with everything on the list, right? And so these are not skills that should be removed from your daily life. These are things that you shouldn't really have a problem with because you should be doing, like, saying them out loud when you're doing them at home. When you pack in the bags to go to the wash house, to go wash clothes, you're going to quickly get a sense of how much clothes could go in a laundry bin, how many clothes could go in the bag that I'm taking, how many bags do I need for to take this whole set of loads to the wash house, how many loads will I need to run these clothes, right? These are things that you may not realize are math skills. Because nobody's actually articulated them out loud to you and then said to you, be confident. You have this. You are already practicing this in your daily life. I like when math has come to the math.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Anyway, I had another story about math. And I used to drive a stick shift. And I once drifted around, not all the way around, but around a roundabout. With my stick shift, because somebody's doing foolishness, it was the only way to it, you know. And then, that's when I really realized, like, how just real the math is in my daily life. I see the physical teacher over there saying, "Miss Green, you couldn't drift a car. Look at you, you ain't in no physical education." But I think it's important for us adults to also remember that we are models for the kids. That the role that we play is reinforcing what is being taught in school. If the teachers are saying that physical activity is important, then you have to be real with your children. And you got to say, listen, I'm telling you to go outside for some physical activity. Mommy, come with us. I am worn out. Be honest with them. I am worn out. I need to take some time, and then I come in out to start something. Just be real with them, because we have to reinforce the messages that the teachers are giving them in school. That's the only way that it works. And yes, parents, it feels like the teacher teaching you too. That's the truth. That's what it is. Okay, well, we are all out of time. I want to say congratulations to all of the winners. Uriah McPhee, Mr. Avery Davis, I call on you. Oh, I'm to the STEM now. Thank you, producer. The STEM competition winners.
STEM competition winners are grade one. A shout out to Parenting Thompson. Congratulations. Grade two. A shout out to Ray Bain. Grade three. A shout out to Latea Wims and Isaac Santil. Grade four, Amari Smith. Grade five, Therese Smith, an upcoming engineer. Grade 6, Charlize Williams. Yes, these are our science innovators. Congratulations, children.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Uriah McPhee Primary School family. Congratulations to the Kemp Road community. Congratulations to the alum and to the parents who are preparing their children to enter the school world. If you're in the Kemp Road community, have no fear. Uriah McPhee is right there. Ladies, thank you so much. This morning, you guys have a great day. And to the audience, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.